Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Am I wrong, or did I hear that they might have backed down the plane in the car?
Yeah, I heard
it was postponed. I mean, he's a billionaire. The guy's actually intelligent, and he thinks that by kicking everybody out and not letting them come back in with sleeping bags and tarps, he's going to help the city or his cause or his investors that are pushing him to push us out of here.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do it.
It's only going to cause us to get stronger.
And this is the law.
December 1st, 2011, And we're here with all the occupiers everywhere. You're not alone, you're not forgot, not anywhere near done. We finally have a place where hope lives. Occupy Valley Forge, a winter to hold on through. This is Here Be Monsters, one of a drumline of small radio shows boycotting the liars of the MSM and providing the people with an alternative media choice, speaking truth to power. This is not really a global revolution, it's a global evolution. And we are all family of Mother Earth, all brothers and sisters in the good health of our communities and our home, planet Earth. And if we ever needed might for right, it's about time it made a comeback. Here Be Monsters dedicates all broadcasts to the peacefully driven Occupy movement worldwide. And if you didn't hear the opening, we did a thing called The Voices of Occupy. It's really wonderful. Play it back if you get the chance. We're in solidarity because we are the 99%. We're sponsored here by Roundtree7, that's the number 7.com. Great place to go find some progressive and uber liberal kind of information, knowledge to the social consciousness. And Daughters of Isis, a handmade company, my own in fact. Okay, so listen, I want to tell you, it's good to keep in mind that it's chicken one day and feathers the next, okay? Because it's getting weirder and weirder out there, I think. Yeah, let's get to it. Cenk Uygur is speaking out even before his debut on Monday night on Current Television. Uygur is a former MSNBC anchor like Keith Olbermann, and he left the network like Olbermann in July after management tried to dictate to him how he could do his show and what he could say, and the criticism of the corporate messaging of Democrats. He just simply refused to do it. So when they offered a significant raise in prime time position or promotion, he told them to put it away. I quote, I got this off Raw Story today, I didn't want to work at a place that didn't want me to do my kind of show, that wasn't interested in my kind of show, didn't want to challenge power. Uygur, of course, is, pardon me, Uygur, of course, is the anchor for the Young Turks. He will be opening at 7 p.m. on Current Television just before Keith Olbermann's countdown starting Monday evening. And in January, ex-Governor Granholm will have the war room after him. So they're really getting quite a lineup over there, really worth it to see. Uygur has been very outspoken. He said some of the hosts of MSNBC sometimes do criticize Democrats, but when they do it, it's a big thing, like, ooh, I'm out on a limb, look at this. It's that Uygur is saying, making an exception for MSNBC host Dylan Radigan is the only one he does it for, because he's the only one who said he has no hesitation in attacking Democrats. And we've all been watching Rachel Maddow wipe Obama's ass for months now. So it's kind of crudely stated, but it's very accurate. Anyways, it's a pretty well-known fact, too, that about 80% of the Democratic Party is corrupt. So if you're not putting it out there to your audience, you're doing them a great disservice, and so says Cenk. And he will have his Young Turks in the lineup on Monday evening. Well, it's not too surprising that Massachusetts Yankee Attorney General Martha Coakley is suing 5 of the nation's biggest banks for deceptive foreclosure and mortgage modification practices. Isn't that nice to hear? Let me say that one more time. It's not too surprising to hear that Massachusetts Yankee Attorney General Martha Coakley is suing 5 of the nation's biggest banks for deceptive foreclosure and mortgage modification practices. Hallelujah. Talk to the hand. Her office had announced it yesterday. Coakley's suit signals her formal departure from ongoing settlement negotiations between those banks, the Obama administration, and a coalition of other state AGs over faulty foreclosure procedures. Far friggin' out. Like I told you, it is great news. Hi, Janelle. It's like this. It's chicken one day and feathers the next. And feathers are a gift from spirit. You should keep that in mind. So, Ms. Coakley had to say, the single most important thing we can do to return to a healthy economy is to address this foreclosure crisis. Our suit alleges that the banks have charted a destructive path by cutting corners and rushing to foreclosure on homeowners without following the rule of law. Our action today seeks real accountability for the bank's illegal behavior and real, real relief for the homeowners. You know, I got to tell you, I lived in Massachusetts for a while, and I love it. It's a place I consider a home of mine. And Yankees there are pretty fair, but pretty set. And once they say it, they certainly seem to stick with it. I'm going to cop to being a fantasy indulgent during my off hours. I decompress with nighttime drama or fantasy. I like to watch certain shows. I'm a fan of Kathy Bates' new show. It's called Harry's Law. And I've got to give reasonable kudos to NBC for Tuesday night, this last Tuesday night show. I recorded it. I only saw it late last night. And it had a woman standing trial for robbing a bank that foreclosed on her, and bringing every issue of the day and Occupy. Although they didn't say Occupy, they referred to Occupy. They brought every issue honestly to light. Now, the lawsuit that's filed in Coakley's territory there in Massachusetts is against Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Citibank, Ally Financial, and the Mortgage Electronic Registration System of Suffolk Superior Court, and in Suffolk Superior Court, and targets banks using fraudulent paperwork in the foreclosure process, foreclosing without actually holding the mortgage. You know, this is going on all over the place, and it's been going on real close to my home. My kid sister is moving in a couple of days because she, you know, couldn't fight anymore against Bank of America. And it's heartbreaking, but it also kind of clears your decks to begin again brand new. But boy, I'll tell you, she's put her son is in college now, and she can go about regrouping and rebuilding, which is what she's doing right now quite brightly. But I have to tell you, I see it not just within my own family, but the family I call my family of friends. I see it in strangers. I see it in the people I don't expect to see it from. People working in the banks themselves, bank employees that are going through this in tears and are willing to talk to you about it, too, right there in the bank, at least here in South Florida. I mean, I've had conversations. It's like we were talking about ways to get the Occupy message out there. I've taken to wearing my Guy Fawkes mask backwards when I go grocery shopping. You wouldn't believe how many people will ask you, what the heck is that? Are you some kind of domestic terrorist? And it's like, yeah, I look like an online lady. I'd make it hot footing down the road. no, I'm not quite, you know, it's strange to see someone like myself wearing a mask like that and looking like, you know, they're some kind of protester. But that's exactly who I am and what I am. But I'm very genuine, very polite, very sincere when I tell people who ask me just exactly what the issues are. And people know the issues. They just have to be reminded, and they have to hear the straight truth about why Occupy is going on. So anything that brings it to the surface like this and into general conversation should be applauded and supported. So I'm telling you what, Harry's Law on Tuesday nights on NBC, fuck yeah. And not only have you got good actors there, but they're addressing the issues of the day, just like my other favorite show used to, Boston, you know, the Boston one, Boston Law, whatever it was. I miss the hell out of that one. It was a goodie. But see, when you get television with some timely issues in it like that, the information comes out and gets discussed a whole lot quicker. Hey, you know what, Janelle? That's Boston Legal. Thank you. I quit watching it because I've seen even all of them in reruns. But I'll tell you, that's one great show. Makes you laugh, makes you cry, and also educates you. But getting into the grocery store and telling people, yeah, conversation seems to go very well for some reason in the grocery store there and at the DMV. Lots of people talking at the DMV. In that same show, I'll tell you what else they addressed. On the same show in Harry's Law, they addressed something that nobody wants to address. They took on high school and college football and the impact on young brains. And it's a disturbing illumination for me, because my nephew is a college linebacker. He's actually number 3 ranked nationally in his division, and he adores the game. But boy, oh boy, what I learned on that show about how young people are hurt by football—that's very disturbing. Anyways, I'm recommending David E. Kelly and his Harry's Law with Kathy Bates and Cass, because it's bringing it up, and you're going to find that there are some, especially on TNT, some timely stuff. Okay, so austerity measures are being, I don't know how to say, implemented in this case, because the austerity measures that are being implemented in Europe are even including things like, quote, emergency property taxes on Greeks and Spaniards. This is all through the IMF, which is the European, you know, version of the Fed. And it's all being done on people's real property, real value, real money, backed in opposition by nothing but invisibleness, the same way you get a mortgage with invisibleness from a bank. You know, we say you can, we'll back up your paper, which they're not doing. You follow where I'm going here. The taxes on Greeks and looking to extend into other beleaguered countries, like Ireland is having a very hard time right now, so is Spain and Portugal and Italy, but you know who isn't? Iceland. They went tits up. They went belly. That's terrible, isn't it? They went feet up, and basically, they are beginning to recover now, where everybody else is still dancing around. So that's an interesting thing to see. France isn't far behind, but Germany has a way of keeping afloat that should give us all pause. And in England yesterday, over a million union workers striked, and thousands and thousands of people got into the streets and attended rallies. And you know what I heard in everything? That every clip from every group that was speaking in the UK, they were parroting, they were echoing the words of Occupy Wall Street, which, you know, the country's on fire, it really is. And if you think about it, with the UK and America basically in the, you know, deadlights of money coming down, nothing being there, something is about to shift. I'm thinking. I don't know what it is, but something large is about to shift again. There have been no apologies to Pakistan by our State Department or military, so here's another country we're going to be kicked out of, like Iraq. I find it shameful that, the millions here in the U.S., well, they kicked our unions down for so long. I don't think there's an organizational strut that way, but I will say this. Occupy Wall Street enjoyed the compensating effect of unions backing them up with their marches, and still are. So they're there. They're there, Janelle. I think it's shameful. I was going to say that I think it's shameful that Vice President Biden is over in Iraq now, lying through his teeth about what we're doing there and why we're there at this date, how many of us is there, and the reason that we're having to get everyone out. It's because Obama is keeping a promise? I don't think so. Obama doesn't know how to do that. I'm waiting to see if he vetoes what they passed in the Senate today. The Authorization Act, I think it, the authorization bill. Janelle, you probably know what I'm talking about. We discussed it yesterday, and I don't have that screen in front of me. But, you know, he has the ability to veto. I doubt whether he will. But no apologies to Pakistan by our State Department or our military. So we're getting kicked out of Pakistan, just like we have been in Iraq. We've been told to take our hat and what's our hurry. Our State Department, too, the conference in Durban on climate control, 16 environmental groups asked our State Department to take note that the U.S. is not holding to its promise of climate control sanctions in Cancun that they made. Much more needs to be done. And at the conference for climate change in Durban, South Africa, that's going on right now, there was a huge protest, I think it was yesterday, by Indigenous Canadians who protested Royal Dutch Shell for vying, against the human rights to a clean environment. It was pretty large. And I want to bring it all to some clarity with a wonderful piece that I have found that I would like to play for you by Punk Patriot. And this is some of his sanity. And you take a listen. This is good stuff.
Occupy Wall Street. What do they want? I think it's obvious what we want, isn't it? Any idiot who spends 15 minutes out in any of the occupations talking to the people there will come away with some idea of what our demands are. The economic mode upon which our society is based, by whatever name you want to call it, is a homicidal machine, which requires us to ignore the connections between the way we live and the problems in the world. For the machine to continue working, it requires us to devalue the lives of people that we'll never meet, either because they live far away in other states or other countries, or because we will not live to see them born. For the machine to continue working requires us to ignore the
fact that the lights that are on in your house right now are most likely powered by electricity that comes from burning coal, and that extracting that coal from the ground means that people in West Virginia and Pennsylvania are going to die of cancer and mercury poisoning. For the machine to continue working requires us to not think about the fact that your cell phone or your laptop's Wi-Fi is made possible through the rape and forced labor of women in Central Africa, who are brutalized and forced to work in mines against their will to extract the rare earth minerals that make Wi-Fi possible. For the machine to continue working requires us to ignore the fact that our grandchildren's grandchildren will inherit an earth characterized by the pervasiveness of toxic chemicals polluting the air, water, and soil. A world devoid of unspoiled wilderness. For the machine to continue working requires us to ignore the fact that we are killing the very planet that sustains us. It requires us to ignore the fact that we are now so in control of the elements of nature that we have fundamentally altered the chemistry of the ocean, causing massive die-offs of coral reefs. We have filled our oceans with garbage. There is an island the size of Texas made of garbage in the Pacific Gyre. The United States alone has enough nuclear warheads to destroy all life on the planet 14 times over. That is ludicrous. That's homicidal. We all know that this is wrong. We know that there is a better way to do things, a better way to organize our society. We may not be sure of how to get there from here, but this remains. The machine must be stopped. The homicidal machine that is Western crony capitalism is made of all of us. When we comply with the roles that the system says we're supposed to fulfill, when we do what we're supposed to, we become more and more trapped by it. But we cannot simply walk away from it. The grip of the machine on our lives is far too great for that. If this homicidal machine had a brain, the nervous center would be in Washington, D.C. If the homicidal machine had a heart, it would be located on Wall Street. I would like, with this video, to revitalize the rallying cry of the Occupy Wall Street movement. The movement has never been at its core about sleeping outside. What the movement has been about is creating a new world, creating a new way to organize society. That new world is just in its infancy now, and the old world has been trying to crush it in its nascent stage before it has a chance to take hold. But it's taken hold now. But it is still in its infancy, and the old world, the homicidal machine, is still going to try to crush it and kill it. This is because the new world is a direct threat to the very existence of the old one. In order to make this new world possible, in order to give this new world a chance to survive, we must destroy the old one. We must stop the homicidal machine from working. We must shut down the brain and the heart of the homicidal machine. There's a prophecy by the elders of the indigenous people who live in the area where the Keystone XL pipeline is going to be. This prophecy says that one day, the ways of mankind will be so wrong and so dangerous to the earth that Mother Earth will rise up to correct things, and that the people of the world must either rise up with her or face extermination. Those of us in the Occupy Wall Street movement, we are like white blood cells. Our world has been infected by a homicidal mode of economy, a homicidal mode of thought, a homicidal mode of living. We must heal the earth. And we must heal our society. We must clog the halls of Congress with our bodies and prevent it from functioning. We must clog the New York Stock Exchange and prevent it from functioning. We must be there like white blood cells attacking an infection until the homicidal machine is healed and dismantled. Have you ever been surfing? Right now there's a wave of energy gathering. When a wave gathers energy, the ocean pulls backwards away from the shore, and the ocean becomes thin and shallow. There's a lull. The larger the wave, the greater the lull. This winter will most likely prove to be just a lull before the next wave. Don't despair as the numbers dwindle and as maintaining the occupation becomes harder and harder. At the point just before things turn in the other direction, the draw out to sea is the strongest, and it looks like you're being pulled away from the shore, pulled away from your destination. But if during this low point you're able to look around and position yourself well, you can ride that wave as it comes surging back. So occupiers this winter, stay strong. Hold your ground, but don't worry too much about dismantling the machine or direct action this winter. It's cold. It's time to focus our energy inwards and focus on maintaining this community that we've built. It's time to focus on germinating that new way of ordering society, one based on love and compassion and abundance and not on scarcity and sociopathy. And this spring, during the week of the vernal equinox, when Earth's life will come surging forward, let us surge with it. Let us descend by hundreds of thousands onto Wall Street and Washington, D.C., and shut the machine down. A homeless man came up to me while I was at the occupation of Freedom Plaza in D.C., and he said to me, randomly, out of the blue, "I'm going to say this to you because You seem like the kind of person who can appreciate this. Being here in this space, I don't have to say anything to be heard. I have power that comes simply from being here. And that's turned out to be true for the entire Occupy movement. While I've spent time on Wall Street and in Washington, D.C., I've seen how scared the machine is of us. At the Chamber of Commerce, all we had to do was show up and they shut the building down. At the Hart Senate Office Building, all we had to do was show up and they shut the building down. At the Rayburn House offices, with just 15 people, all we had to do was show up and they closed down the hallways, not even allowing congressional staffers through. Our power comes from simply being there. The machine is used to us misdirecting our anger into online petitions, Facebook groups, rallies, and symbolic protests, symbolic arrests. But if we simply show up to the scene in which the crimes are happening, suddenly, the homicidal machine is exposed for exactly how powerless, naked, and illegitimate it really is. So you want to stop the machine? All you have to do is show up. And the machine, which knows exactly how weak and frail it really is, will flip out and go into self-preservation mode. And at that point, the only thing we need to do is wait. If we scare the machine into shutting itself down out of fear, every day, for weeks on end, the machine will starve itself to death. If the machine lashes out with violence against us, that only betrays the total lack of legitimacy that the machine has a right to exist. It doesn't. The homicidal machine is criminal, and it must be stopped for the sake of all of humanity. And through peaceful nonviolence, we will force this homicidal machine to betray exactly how illegitimate it is. On this vernal equinox, March 20th, let us simultaneously invade the New York Stock Exchange and the halls of Congress in D.C. and bring the machine to a halt. Will I see you there? I hope so. To life, liberty, and pursuit of a less fucked up government.
That was the punk patriot. And if you don't know who he is, just go over to YouTube and put him in the search. And his videos are very eloquent and mindfully put together. And he is suggesting, and I think so is Occupy Wall Street, that on vernal equinox, the rush come back. You know, in the meantime, moving forward together, I'm going to give you the new stuff off of Occupy Wall Street right now before I sign off. Moving Forward Together, an open space for discussion. It was posted 15 hours ago, and it's this Saturday on December 3rd from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at 311 West 43rd Street, New York. Since losing our encampment, different spaces have been used for continued discussion and creative reflection together this Saturday. A process called Open Space will be piloted to look at what we value, what we've accomplished, and where we're going. Please join us as an individual or with your work group. Invite friends, family, or any others you want to this conversation. Open Space is based in decentralized small conversations that are documented and shared with the whole group. It is more resilient to disruption and less centered on facilitators. There will be opportunities to be trained in hosting open space gatherings in the coming weeks if people are interested. So please think about being over there, getting yourself involved. If you're a New Yorker, this is someplace you need to be. You can find at Occupy Wall Street, and that's street by st.org, all of this information. Please go over there and do it. I'm going to put the link in the chat for you right now, and then I will continue to give you the rest of the information over here. Yes. In solidarity, man. This is an excellent opportunity to learn how to work the open space. Occupy to celebrate the resilience of OWS. This was posted today on Saturday the 3rd at 10 a.m. Occupy Wall Street members of the New York faith community invite the Occupy movement to join in a celebration of our occupation at Liberty Square. We're calling on all occupiers to re-energize our movement, keep Liberty Square alive, share ideas about the importance of outdoor spaces for our future. Bishop George Packard, Pulitzer Prize-winning author and journalist Chris Hedges, and Occupy Faith will rally around Occupy Wall Street's immediate need for spaces to continue organizing for social and economic justice. Now, this is going to go on Saturday, the same morning as the Open Space Training Group, but this event will celebrate the launch of a journal of occupation theory from the Occupy movement. The journal provides a multidisciplinary exposition of the fundamental challenges posed to institutions of the status quo by the organized chaos of human beings relating to each other democratically and authentically. At the event, contributors to the journal will bring its pages to life through readings, musical performances, and artistic exhibitions. The occupations that we have created, our communities, are the heart of the movement. We will celebrate each other with food, song, passionate speeches, heartwarming stories, and support from our allies and the broader community. There will be a call to reclaim and occupy outdoor spaces, followed by a celebration of the best of our occupation and what is yet to come. So Saturday, there is a renaissance, pardon me, for Occupy going on. Get on over in New York. Now, the place that you can go to find out what is close to you is OccupyTogether.org, and I am definitely going to be putting that link up right now. And Occupy Together has really got grasped command of their site. It's pretty wonderful. You go over there, you're going to find a whole lot of different information on a whole lot of different communities. And it just makes for pretty cool reading. And they are over there on their front page. They are reminding us that this is about the year that, December 6th, next Tuesday, is a national day of action to stop and reverse foreclosures. The front line now is occupying foreclosures. Keep that in mind. Go on over to OccupyTogether.org. You're going to get all this great information. December is a global day of action, and December 12th is the projected West Coast port shutdown, which is going to be Occupy movements all across the West Coast, pardon me, the coastline, goodness gracious, to shut down the ports. So, there we have it. Janelle, thanks for being here, hon. Appreciate it. Of course, my throat isn't paying too much attention. And to anyone in the archive listening, thank you for coming by. Tomorrow, we have a guest. We have David Cobb from the I'm getting that information up for you there, peoples. Thanks, Janelle. Move to Amend, the 2004 Green Party presidential nominee and the proud initiator of the Ohio recount. David Cobb is going to be my guest tomorrow, and he's going to help me fill pretty much an hour of time talking about the Move to Amend and working with the different Occupy movements. They're doing a hell of a job. And I, as I said, kudos to my lone pal in the chat right now. Thank you ever so much, Janelle. You are appreciated. Everyone's loved and appreciated. Who listens in, who doesn't? What we're doing here is we're trying to get the message out. Like I said in the beginning, we're here with the occupiers everywhere, and no one's alone or forgot, nor anywhere near done. We're just getting started. So the Occupy Valley Forge, a winner to hold on through, is what's going on right now. This is Here Be Monsters, one of a drumline of small radio shows boycotting the liars of the MSM and providing the people with an alternative media choice, speaking truth to power. You're most welcome, sweetie. It's fun kind of doing this like this. You should call in, huh? Anyways, I'm going to cough again, so I want to Here Be Monsters dedicates all our broadcasting to the peaceful Occupy movement worldwide. And I'm going to ring us off here today with a little bit of Drew and his BP blues.
Grew up on the Southern Shore, Louisiana, now they ain't no more. I'm kicking mud up off a crawfish hole, barefooted with a fishing pole, make a living with my own two hands. And yeah, it's part of being who I am. Long back into the oil field, that's the only way to pay our bills. If I'm lucky, I could have a son and take him hunting like his daddy done. Get him working on a fishing boat, up and down the Gulf of Mexico. Living dead out on a deep sea rig, doing what it is they had to live. All bleeding from a gaping hole, up and down the Gulf of Mexico. Morgan City at the Mobile Bay, Pascagoula down to FLA. Still I'm stuck out here for seven more, watching everything turn black on shore.